From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. The holiday season is upon us, a time when many nonprofit agencies are asking for donations to help them continue to operate. The La Crosse Salvation Army traditionally raises a significant amount of its annual budget during this two-month stretch. They use that money to help feed, shelter, and clothe the homeless, and provide other programs like helping people find a job. Salvation Army Major Curtis Hartley of La Crosse told Mary Meehan Stroob, director of UW Extension for La Crosse County, that their success begins with reaching this year's goal.
Well, our Christmas fundraising goal is $600,000, which is a sizable chunk of money, and it's a lot to raise in the 6 weeks of this fundraising campaign. But it represents one-third of our annual budget for this coming year, so it's very important to us to have a successful Christmas fundraising campaign.
So how does that amount compare with what you needed to raise last year?
Last year we had the same goal of $600,000. We did not reach that. I think we got about $547,000, which we were very pleased with. For various reasons, looking at the budget and discussing things with our advisory board members and so on, we set the goal back at that same $600,000. Not wanting to extend it, obviously, since we didn't reach it last year, and to be as realistic as possible based on the reality of that economics right now. One of the things I've talked about, and I remember talking about last year at this time as well, that as the economy worsened initially when the news media was talking about it and it was a real big deal when it was first starting, our financial contributions and support still maintained a pretty high level, which said to us, our supporters, folks who donate to us, weren't, they knew it was there. They were seeing some struggles and difficulties, but it wasn't impacting them a whole lot. So we kind of always expected it to kind of be in waves. As the nation's economy goes, it's a year or two later that it really begins impacting us at the Salvation Army. And I think we've kind of seen that as the reality as far as the people coming to us needing services. You may recall even this summer the media was talking about signs of recovery in the economy and things starting to get better and some of those kinds of things. At the same time that was going on, our numbers at our shelter and our feeding program were actually going up to record numbers and staying at those record numbers, over capacity in the shelter quite often. So we see that second wave for us, that whatever's happening in the economy, it's happening later in how it impacts us. So what we're experiencing this year in particular is that the needs are greater. We're seeing more and more people coming to us with need, and yet it's getting a little more difficult to raise the needed dollars because now the folks who have always supported the Salvation Army are really experiencing some difficulties themselves with the economic times, and so they're perhaps not able. In fact, just today I got a couple of slips from our mail appeal donors who had handwritten notes on them that, they had checked the box for a small dollar amount that they were giving us and then writing out a note saying, I'm so sorry, it's so small this year, I'm not able to give because of, and they list some of the economic difficulties that are going on in their own families. So that's very real evidence of just what we've seen going on and suspecting all along, that our supporters themselves are struggling. So all of that we took into account when setting the goal and yet knowing what we needed for our budget for this coming year.
And where are you right now with your goal?
As of last night, we are about $11,500 behind where we were last year at this time. So again, knowing that we didn't reach that $600,000 goal last year, and that even as of now, we're lagging slightly behind. Now, in the overall scheme of things, $600,000, $11,000 doesn't sound like that much. But it, my wife is very good with the business and the accounting, and she's got spreadsheets and everything that she updates every day as we get the numbers back from the bank with our deposits and everything. And you can see that every day the amount in arrears has been very gradually growing. As of even just a couple days ago, press release that our office sent out, we were $9,000 behind. The next day it was $10,000. As of last night, it's $11,000. So, that, again, adds some concern, which means we just need to keep working hard, keep getting the word out. I've always said since coming to town about 2.5 years ago that my wife and I have been very pleasantly surprised at the giving nature of this local community. And when we say that, I feel a little funny when I talk like that because it sounds like something that, oh, yeah, you ought to be saying that in your line of work. But it really, truly comes from the heart. It is the truth that Sandy and I see in this community. Folks are so giving and have stepped up and made sure that the resources, the material goods, the gifts in kind and those kinds of things have always been there. So, you know, we set the goal knowing it's going to be a struggle. We make it a matter of prayer knowing that God is going to meet our needs. He knows what we need for this coming year to be able to continue the level of services that we're doing. So, you know, that's kind of the way we face it. We just say, okay, we're praying and we're trusting God, but at the same time, we're working like crazy. We've got a great staff and a whole bunch of volunteers who are helping us out, and we're always asking for more volunteers to come out and ring the bells especially. One of my staffers did the math and figured out that of the 22 locations we have around town and broken down into two-hour volunteer shifts that that we have it broken down into, there are 5,400 shifts for bell ringing that we need to fill this year. So you can tell there's plenty of opportunity if there's somebody out there who says, I'd like to help the Salvage Army raise that money this year. You know, they can sign up for a two-hour shift, or they can sign up their family or a group they're a part of for a full day or something and help us get there.
Do you have a shortage in bell ringers?
Always. Yeah.
Always?
We do have to hire some paid bell ringers. They're folks who come to us who aren't working elsewhere right now. And so it's an opportunity for them to make a little bit of money and hopefully, you know, provide for themselves and their family a little bit more Christmas. And it's also a way for us to make sure we have some of our kettle locations manned. It would be wonderful if we were in a position to be able to go all volunteer, but we know that we simply would not have the people to be able to cover all those the stands, and they would be all sitting out there unmanned. And one of the things sometimes people will ask us, well, you know, you can just put a kettle there and let it hang there without a person. It really does not work. In fact, in the last couple of days, I've been one of the ones out going around town picking up those buckets at the end of a two-hour shift or at the end of a day or something. And quite often you can see that when someone has forgotten to show up or something like that, and that bucket has just sat there for those 2 hours, there's literally just less than a handful of change in that bucket. It makes a huge difference to have somebody, a live person, standing there making eye contact, a smile, a Merry Christmas, a hi, how are you, and ringing that bell, of course, that really makes a difference in the amount of money people stop by and put in the bucket. So it's very important to us to get lots and lots of volunteer help to ring the bells.
The Red Kettle campaign at the area retailers is probably one of the most visible fund drives that people in our area see. Could you discuss the different ways that people can donate to that Red Kettle campaign and then some of the other fund drives that you've got going on as well?
Sure. Besides the Red Kettles, which are out on the street, 22 locations around town, a lot of folks will mail contributions to us. Our address is 223 North 8th Street, downtown La Crosse. So we get a lot of checks and $20 bills, $5 bills in the mail from individuals who decide they'd like to support us. We do have, I mentioned earlier, these slips from what we refer to as our mail appeal. We have donors who are on our donor list who receive mailings from us on a regular basis throughout the year. And, of course, Christmas is one of the main times for that. So that's a way that folks who are already on our list will be getting our mailings and can send us contributions. The Salvation Army has, in the last couple of years, begun trying to move a little more into the tech world and particularly tie into some of the younger people who may not give the same way that folks in our generation are used to. So we have what we call an online kettle. It's a virtual kettle that if someone goes to our website, bells2ring.org, that's the number two, bells2ring.org, they will find there a picture of a Salvation Army Red Kettle, and there's a little logo next to it that says sponsor your own kettle. And if you click on that, it will lead you through a step where you can actually sign up, establish a kettle in your name, and set your own goal. Say, I want to raise $200 for the Salvation Army in La Crosse, and then you put that picture of that kettle will show up either on your website or your Facebook page or whatever page you want to assign it to. And then you simply email all your friends and family and say, hey, I've got an online kettle at my page. Come click on it and make an online contribution. And those folks can use a credit card to contribute to that individual's kettle, and that money will all come back to the Salvation Army. So we're also doing texting messages, the word coin, and I wish I had the telephone number in front of me. I haven't memorized it, but there's that information is on our website as well. But someone can take their cell phone, simply text the word COIN to this phone number, and that money will, $10 will show up on their phone bill, and that $10 contribution will come directly to the Salvation Army here in La Crosse as well. So there are a lot of different ways that people can make financial contributions and continue to support our work.
This is the big time of year to raise money for the Salvation Army. I believe you said that about a third of your annual budget comes at this time of year. What's that money used for?
The first thing is obviously all of the Christmas assistance programs that we do. The biggest one is obviously the Christmas basket distribution. We've got about 450 families so far signed up to come through on December 22nd, and we load them up with a box full of groceries, you know, turkey and stuffing and all the extras to make a wonderful Christmas dinner for their family. And, you know, we have our Angel Giving Tree program where folks in town can choose a tag off the tree out at Valley View Mall, for instance, or they can stop by our office and ask our volunteer coordinator for some tags and provide clothing gifts for children in those families as well. There are about 1,150 children so far that are available to be sponsored this Christmas. We've done a pretty good job of getting a lot of those sponsored out, but there are still a couple hundred tags, I believe, left, so that's available as well. There are a lot of other smaller bits of our Christmas work that go on internally at our shelter, through our meal program, through some of the other emergency services programs that we have at our office, some of those kinds of things. But the majority of that money, as we've already talked about, you know, we count on our Christmas fundraising for about one-third of our annual budget. And what that means is that whatever we don't use at Christmas time goes into our general account to continue running the shelter for the rest of the year, to continue the meal program that goes on for the rest of the year, the emergency services, the food pantry, and all the other activities that are going on at the Salvation Army. So that's why when I talk about our Christmas fundraising and how important this fundraising effort is, you know, it's not just, well, if we don't get that money, we won't be able to provide Christmas. It's much more than Christmas. It's the regular activities that are going on 365 days a year.
How much of the money stays local?
It's approximately 87%, 87 cents on the dollar. That remaining 13 cents basically is what you know, when you say stays local, that 87 cents on a dollar is actually the money that goes into the direct services that we're providing. So that remaining 13 cents is what is used for any of what we call administrative costs, so some of which is obviously spent at our own facility here in town. A part of that is what the Salvation Army refers to as support services, and that means our divisional headquarters in Milwaukee, who provides personnel expertise in IT, in finance, and bookkeeping, in social services.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Nguyen Strube, and our guest today is Major Curtis Hartley from the Salvation Army. Now, Major Hartley, the economy continues to be in a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And as you think about your years and experiences at the Salvation Army, how do you see it affecting the services that you're able to provide?
That's kind of the struggle that we face, and you and I have already kind of touched on that a little bit in our discussions already. You know, our intent is to continue providing the level of services that we're currently providing. You know, in some respects, we can kind of come off looking kind of intransigent because we kind of just insist we're not going to start cutting back on services. We're not going to start laying off personnel. We're not going to start dropping one program or another. Truly, the work that goes on at the Salvation Army is all frontline emergency type services to individuals who need our services, and because it's so important, such emergency service, it's like we're not willing to give up any of that. So It's our most desperate effort to do anything we can to raise the money at Christmas as well as throughout the remainder of the year. We have United Way funds. We have contracts with the county, with the state, and even federal grants that help support the shelter program and the feeding program and the emergency services and all the different things going on. We're constantly looking for any and all avenues of funding to be able to assist us with continuing the programming that we're doing. We've tapped into funding through the La Crosse Community Foundation, who's been very generous to us to help us with several projects. Most recently, the Tiny Tim fundraiser. Supported the Salvation Army as one of their charities this year to help with our psychology program that's a part of our shelter emergency services program. So our staff, particularly our development director, is tasked with basically looking for any and all resources, looking for opportunities to tap into additional grants, additional contracts, coming up with other clever means of doing other fundraisers throughout the year. So basically, we are just intent on doing everything we can to raise as much money as possible to be able to maintain the level of services that we're doing.
At this time last year, you were raising money to help cover 2010. Did you raise enough then to get you through this year?
Well, as I said, our goal last year was $600,000, and I believe it was about $547,000 that we raised. So for us, that was, relatively close. It did mean a little bit of belt tightening. We did have meetings with our key staff after the first of the year to take a look at the budget and start looking at, okay, where are some areas where maybe we'll have to do without replacing some old equipment that we had hoped to and some of those kinds of things. So that's one of that's basically the way we attacked that last year. And in some ways, what that forces us to do is, if it comes to a point of, okay, we had to do without replacing this equipment from our general account, maybe somebody finds somewhere down the line, okay, maybe there's another avenue of getting some funding to help take care of that particular need. If not, we just continue plugging along with the equipment that we have and make do. To a great extent, the programs and services that we provide are heavily involved from a personnel standpoint. So it's like, the personnel, the staffing is there, and they're going to continue doing the programs with whatever means, whatever objects and materials that we have available. And that's why another important part of what I talked about a while ago, what we call gifts in kind, it's if somebody doesn't have cash to give us, but they do have leftover food. I mean, when the Scouting for Food does a food drive, or the postal workers do a food drive and those kinds of things, that food that comes to us is gifts in kind that we're able to use through our pantry to give to families who come to us. Our kitchen staff is able to use it to provide the hot meals that we prepare back in the kitchen for the feeding program. So a lot of times it's a lot of gift in kind material goods that individuals as well as local companies provide to us that helps us get by and helps us keep extending that service.
Are you seeing a different clientele in light of the economy?
I think, the easy answer is yes. What we're seeing this past year is an increase in families. When I came here initially for the first year and a half, almost 2 years, the shelter was mostly single individuals. We might have a family or two at a time. We might have as many as half a dozen children in the shelter at a time. Within these last 6 to 8 months, in fact, at one point this summer, we had seven families, as well as then all the other singles that we still had. We had seven families representing 19 children in the shelter. And those children were ranging in age from infants, and I think we had about three of them were all within like a month old, right on up through mid to late teens, 19 children running around our shelter, which changes the dynamic quite a lot. It's a lot of activity, a lot of noise, a lot of ruckus going on in the shelter. So the families themselves, the individuals in the shelter, our own staff and volunteers all have to kind of get used to that kind of thing. In some ways, it brought a lot of joy to see kids running around the place and having a good time and taking advantages of the services and programs that we had going on. But that's probably the biggest change that we've seen, is that the number of actual families staying in the shelter at any given time has increased. It was a high of those seven in the summertime, but it's still maintained to be anywhere from 3 to 4, even 5 families with a dozen kids, 15 kids running around in the shelter these days.
And recognizing that we've spent a considerable amount of time here talking about fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
What type of person contributes to the Salvation Army?
I think all types. Just anecdotally from what I see when folks come walking in the door or from the folks who are coming by and putting money in the kettles and those kinds of things, it really truly is all types of people with all types of personal resources. We do have those who are capable of writing a check for several thousand dollars, and that happens. We have folks who support us in that way. But we have folks who come by and they'll give us or mail in an envelope with $2 in it because that's the resource. I kind of look at it as the widow's mite that we see in the Bible, that someone will give of whatever resources they have, and God will kind of multiply those resources and help it to stretch and extend and be able to continue the work. So it truly, when I say to someone, they're almost apologetic about the little bit that they're able to drop in the red kettle at Christmas time, for instance, or the man who sends us this $2 in the mail will have a little note that says, sorry, this is all I can send. It's like my response is, every little bit helps because it really adds up. I kind of tie it into I hear a lot of other people that do this as well. I've always hated to carry change in my pocket, so I just got in the habit of, at the end of the day, whatever change was there, I'd take it out and throw it in a tub. And it's amazing how quickly that adds up. You don't think of it as being a whole lot of money, but in a very short time, all of a sudden, there's a whole lot of money there. And that's the same way it works with people who are donating to the Salvation Army, that whatever they've got, whether they can afford to write a check for several thousand dollars or whether they can just toss a handful of change, it really adds up and combines with somebody else's change and amounts to supporting our work.
Do you have any stories as such of goodwill contributions that stand out in your mind?
Well, this time of year, Christmas, it's always fun. When my kids were I call them kids. My son is now 24, and my daughter's 21.
They'll always be kids,
exactly.
Too.
And our son just got married this summer, so his wife was with him. The three of them were with us at Thanksgiving. And I kind of made it a working holiday for them since we had started our kettles. We're all musical, and I borrowed some brass instruments from Lighthold Music right here in town. They loaned me a couple of brass horns so that I could put my kids to work, and we took them out to one of our kettle sites to play Christmas carols in a little brass quartet. And it was a lot of fun, standing there making good music and just watching the smiles on people's faces. But it always gets me when I see, a family coming across the parking lot with a little 3-year-old boy or something, and he turns to mom and dad and puts his hand out and they drop some quarters in his hand. And then he has to stand on his tippy toes and reach up as high as he can to get them in the bucket. And he just gets a real kick out of making that contribution. And it's a lot of fun to see, just at the moment, as well as to imagine, that mom and dad are teaching this this youngster the idea of giving, the idea of benevolence and taking care of others.
Major Curtis Hartley is with the Salvation Army in La Crosse, talking about its annual Red Kettle campaign, efforts to raise money during the holidays. He spoke with Mary Meehan Strube, director of UW Extension in La Crosse County. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Steve Rysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. And if you'd like to comment on this edition of Newsmakers or have suggestions for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.